And I'm Kathy Freese, and I'm the new member, obviously. And I live on Kingsbury, right opposite Ames Place.
Kathy, I'm having trouble hearing you. I don't know if anybody else is having trouble.
I could hear her.
I got it.
Good.
Okay. I'll try and speak up a little bit.
I'm Alita Klein, and I'm the second ward council member. I've been to one other meeting, so some of you I've met before. And, you know, just a quick note that we still have two more commission members that we need to appoint. So if you know anybody who is interested in being on this commission, we'd appreciate suggestions.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I don't know. I was looking around and I couldn't find it. Is there a term? I mean, is this or is it just kind of until you leave? I don't even know.
They're usually 3-year terms.
Yeah, well, I think I'm about hitting my 3 years if I haven't gone past it. So if you hit your 3 years, do you need to be re?
Yeah, then you can you can be reappointed for another 3 years, I believe.
And who's supposed to track, just out of curiosity, are we supposed to track that ourselves or does the?
The city tracks.
Okay.
Our city clerk tracks.
Because mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've been here, I think I'm in my third year. This is.
I think there are 2-year appointments.
I have an email from city clerk I know that has everybody's appointments, and what I can do is just send it out to the commission and let everybody know where they're at.
I think it's 3 years. I was just given that information.
Okay.
Got
an email.
With a reappointment option. I think it goes through your city council person.
Yeah. Is there anybody else that we're missing tonight, or is this it now? Is Barbara cycled off, or?
Yeah, Barbara cycled off. We still have Malik, who is part of the committee. He showed up to
All right.
And we haven't heard from him since. So
what do we do about that when someone just, is absent without leave, or, I don't know what you want to call it. I mean, whose responsibility is it to reach out to that person to say, are you still here? Are you, whatever.
We have reached out to our city clerk, and I believe that she will be reaching out to him if she hasn't already to see what his interest is.
Thank you.
How many places are there for commissioners?
Two.
No, I mean.
They're just 7 overall.
Yeah.
7? Okay. So we're way short tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is the best we've done since September, Kathy.
Yeah.
Okay, so look for new people. And I'm hearing we've got Ward 1, 2, and 3 represented, so anybody, anywhere would be good, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, and I don't know if it's worth talking to Terry Crow, but I know I was appointed from an pardon me, I'm forgetting her name, our previous mayor.
Shelley Welch.
Yes, yeah, thank you. And she actually put something on Nextdoor, I think is how I found out about it. Might be I don't know if Terry could, I mean, and she said that she got a ton of responses.
Oh, interesting.
That's a good idea. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. That is a good idea.
I was appointed by her, Shelley Welch as well. So
I think we joined at the same time, Diane.
Oh, okay.
Sounds right. Yeah. Cause you're in your second year, right?
I think I don't know. It's been quite a few.
I might be in my third. I don't know.
I think I'm beyond my third.
Well, Shelley's been gone for almost 3 years. So yeah. If Shelley appointed you, it's probably been at least 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I apologize for taking us on that detour. But yeah, if you could send that, Jacob, with our everybody's and how, when we started and kind of where we're at, that would be helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. We can go back to the department report. Is that all right?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions first? Cause that was a good question. I'm glad you brought that up without me bringing it up. So, basically, I guess what I'd like to talk about is we've been running just like everybody else everywhere, you know, bare bones, I guess, two crew members, and we've been using a parks crew member to do tree removals because I believe we have to have three men do a tree removal. It's okay to have two do pruning. There's just more activity going on with the removal. So those are going to start slowing down this summer because they're going to be mowing grass and busy with other stuff. But that's just, I guess, COVID. That's just what's happening right now. So March is the last month to prune oak trees. We have about, when I wrote this, about 50 left. We should have about 35 left now. Tree planting requests are being inventoried on the new inventory software. That's really helping me. I can go look at the site, make notes, the tree goes in there easier. That's really helping me. The inventory of the third ward is completely done as far as street trees. And I have done one park in the third ward, and that is Miller Park. Emerald ash borer removal replacement contract is complete except some finishing details, which I hope they get out there this week, but it's going to rain tomorrow. So probably next week, they just have to, just a couple things touch up. Tree trim project, I'm told, should be done by the end of March. And they have 2,775 trees. They'll have those pruned by the end of March. And like I said, multiple blocks need to be repruned due to unsatisfactory work being done. I'm still going out and checking what they've done, but once you get to the end of March and you have a whole bunch of pin oaks, you can't really reprune them. So we'll just see what happens, but I think they got the message. So that's kind of where we're at right now in the forestry department.
One thing that I want to add to the department report, just kind of as a FYI, this last week there was a Zoom meeting between the Green Center, UCM Bloom, Barbara Brain, with the Green Practices Commission, and myself, looking at the possibility of applying for a Missouri Department of Conservation Community Conservation Grant for Ruth Park Woods. And we're looking at what each other's role could be to add to this. And this is just very preliminary right now moving forward, but we feel that we could get some funds basically between having all these entities co-sponsoring this this possible grant. And the funds would be used basically to go in to Ruth Park Woods to remove all the invasive species that are in there. And I know that Jacob can speak a little more to that and what's involved with that. But, you know, Ruth Park Woods has gotten out of control over the past several years, and it's being taken over by invasives. If we don't do something, we're really going to be in sad shape. So we feel that this is a good possibility, because just as a city alone, like Jacob said, we only have two crew members, and we have all the city street trees and park trees to take care of, as well as Ruth Park Woods. And we already have partnerships with UCity and Bloom and the Green Center on some of the stuff at the Ruth Park Woods. So I think this is something that we can build upon that. And I just wanted to mention that because we're still in the early stages of looking at that. And at some point, once we get some things put together, we will bring back to this committee and to other committees, and then we will get permission if we need to take it to city council and stuff for approval to go for this grant. But we feel that this is a good opportunity to get some funds, and with all the volunteerism through the Green Center, UCity and Bloom and others, and even with some contractual work that can be done through this grant, that we can accomplish this task. And it's not just the initial removal of it, but creating a long-term plan that each year we can continue to do this, because if you don't continue the maintenance of it, you know, in a few years, we're going to be right back where we're at now. So I just wanted to mention that.
I think it's a great idea. I've heard about it because I know different people in each of those partnerships or commissions. So it sounds like a great idea, and I appreciate this staff's cooperation, Darren and Jacob. I did have one question. Is Metropolitan Sewer District, is that project finished in that area?
Yes, that part has been completed with the MSD. However, there's another section towards the east end of Ruth Park Woods that Missouri American Water had to come in to fix. There is a main water line that runs through there, and it broke and leaked, and they had to go in and to repair that. So they had to clear out some brush and some other stuff, and they're supposed to be coming back. I was told as the weather got better, well, can't get much better than what it's been here lately, but they're going to be doing some restoration work in that area.
What's the timeline for the grant, approximate?
Basically, from their meeting the other day, that usually they look at June to do it, but the forester that's with the Missouri Department of Conservation basically said that, you know, they have the money, and if we have a good project, they can pretty much do it any time.
I wonder if everybody here has been on the nature trail in Ruth Park Woods. It's pretty, the winter creeper is pretty deep on the west end of Ruth Park Woods. Once you start noticing, if you just think it's green, it's very green, but it's taken over. Well, I'm excited about the project. I think we got to take care of our woods.
It's about 35 acres, I think, of woods. It's the largest tract of intact woods in University City, you know, by far. And, you know, decades of work has been done on it. And Darren is right. You have to stay on top of it.
Well, I have a 30-year-old friend who used to run cross country with Jim Crow, the former forester, and he took them all over the city, and they got to know the city well. He periodically took them through the nature trail, and Brian said, I'd like to go on that trail again, but it's kind of a secret. Nobody knows where it's at except for Coach Crow. So for a lot of people in U City, it is a secret. So I think it's something that with a project that we could develop the area, it could become more treasured and not a secret.
I don't have anything more to report under the department report, unless anybody has any other questions.
Just a general question, Jacob. They're pruning contracts for all of the pruning in the city. Is that how it works?
So I choose the trees they prune. We're allotted so much money in the budget each year, and then I go out and figure out what trees need pruned. And basically, since I've been here, we're doing that based on citizens' request. And so I kind of figure out where people are calling the most from and how I can get the most trees pruned. And then I would like to, in the future, get it to where we block out sections of the city, and then 7-year cycle. We prune them every 7 years. I don't want residents to have to call me and say, this has been pruned in this long, but that takes time.
Yeah.
But that's
what and one of the things that have taken place that, for whatever reason, if it was the downturn in the economy from 2007 through 2011 and other things, that the budget was cut on a lot of this type of work, staffing was reduced across the board, those sort of things. So we are way behind in a lot of areas, not just in forestry, but through parks and everything. And we're now playing catch up. And it's been great for the past couple of years that we have been allotted more money on the contractual side of things. And So, you know, Jacob's been doing a good job of identifying these trees, and we're trying to get more and more done because we, like Jacob said, we would like to get to a 7-year pruning cycle. If we stayed at the dollar amounts that we were a couple of years ago, we're like on a 20-something year pruning cycle. And that's why we're having a lot of citizen complaints and having some issues, but we're trying to rectify that. And hopefully the funding continues and we can do those things. And Jacob's been doing a good job of identifying those areas that we can contract out that him and his staff can't get to, as well as some tree removals, those sort of things. So we are making progress in that area.
Well, the picture that was sent out about tree removal was sobering.
What's that? Oh, the last study session meeting, or?
No, it was a giant tree that filled up the tree berm space, and it turned over and caught half a house.
Yeah, that was part of the study session.
Okay. Yeah.
Information. Yes.
Yeah. That happens.
We don't want that to happen.
No. But I think that's all we have in the department report, and move on to the council liaison report if Ms. Klein has anything to report.
Well, there's actually a lot going on in the city right now, just in terms of things that we've been talking about for a long time, kind of coming to a point where we're ready to move forward. One of them is the police station. And, you know, this has kind of been an ongoing discussion. They talked about it in the previous administration and had made a decision to build a new police station, but then the funding was not approved for that. And we switched city managers, and that decision, you know, the new administration decided that there wasn't enough information that had been gathered to make that decision. So, a space needs study was done to see what we could do if we could put the police station into the old annex, if it would fit, if we could do it the right way, and if it would be feasible to do that. And they came back with the space needs study that said that we could do that, that we could build a state-of-the-art police department in the annex, and, you know, then we'd be restoring the annex and putting a police station in, you know, at the same time, so that we didn't have to put the money into the annex for some other purpose and build a police station. So the current council majority has is really on board with doing this. So it looks like we're going to, approve that. And then there's going to have to be a bond that will go to a vote of the citizens of University City to, you know, then approve that bond, and we can move forward with that. So more information will be coming out about that so that everybody can understand what this decision will be based on and what it will entail. And then the other thing that's starting to move forward is the development on Costco, on the Costco development, the all of them 170 development. The Costco portion of it is coming to a point where it's ready to move forward. So we hope to have everything aligned for that by the end of the month, and then, you know, hopefully things, you'll start seeing things move forward in that project. The other thing that will be happening, I believe this month is, or within the net this month or the next month, is the Delmar Harvard building, the Delmar building of the Delmar Harvard School will be taken down. So the permit has been given for that to be demolished, and then the hotel will start being built there. So does anyone have any questions about any of that stuff or anything else that's going on in the city? I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I guess I haven't kept up with the hotel. There was a hotel plan that was circulating a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Has there only been one hotel plan?
They've actually revised the plan several times. There were community meetings where lots of people that were interested in how that looked and, you know, different features of the building came to the meetings and made their requests. And the developers have really generously made a lot of adjustments and changed the plan quite a bit from their initial plan. So everybody that has seen the plan seems to be on board, generally on board. So
it's... I've planted every tree in that playground.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's always a painful part when, you know, trees have to be taken down.
Well, the playground left, so, you know, that was painful too. I've been for that endlessly. Yeah. Good memories there.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's hard to see buildings and trees come down, but I think that that's really a pivotal location that the city needs to keep the loop viable, to bring more tax dollars to our city. And so I think it'll be a good thing.
I think you're right.
We do have a tree mitigation policy. Probably you're aware of, everybody's aware of that, mm-hmm. that I think Jacob monitors. So, you know, you assess, isn't that right, Jacob, that you assess the tree breadth or whatever, the board feet or whatever of what goes down, and it has to be either replaced down that site or they have to put money in a pot so that trees can be replaced somewhere else.
Yes, that ordinance is in place.
Yeah.
Is there any requirement for native trees in a new situation?
I guess I'd say no. It has to be on the approved tree species list. But again, we go back to pin oak is native, and then that we don't want 50% of the city be all the same tree. Green ash is native. We're cutting all those down. So on the approved species list, I approve it when the permit's set. So it would just be up to me, basically. And my big thing is don't plant all the same tree. Like, ideally, when I retire, we're going towards the goal of having no more than 5% of one family of tree in the urban forest. That's an insane goal. But someday down the road, it used to be 10% family, 5% genus, and like 2% species or something along those lines. But now with green ash happening, we should have learned from elm, 5% one family of tree, which is just crazy. But you can't do all native trees in an urban environment like that and keep that goal. So get them when you can. If they fit, right tree, right place. That's always my thing. Right tree, right place.
Kathy, if you look at that acceptable tree list, I can't remember. It's like 70% or something are native. And then we'll know more. Once we get the tree inventory done in every ward, we'll know more about what percent of our canopy is. And, you know, we be able to make better decisions moving forward.
Absolutely. That sounds like a good idea.
Council Member Klein, I just want to welcome you. I just want to say I've missed you. I mean, you don't owe us an explanation, but I know in the past, our council liaison has had a conflicting meeting, like parking commission or something like that, and can't literally be in two places at one time, or had a previous council person had commission like every night of the week and for childcare purposes just needed to be home, you know, or whatever. So, you know, I mean, there's lots of, I mean, we even hadn't had a quorum, and maybe that's why you didn't value being here. But anyway, I just wanted to say welcome and that I do value your being here.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, there are sometimes conflicts, and I know that these meetings are only every other month. So, you know, if I miss one meeting, it seems like, you know, it's a big chunk. So I will make it to as many of these meetings as I possibly can.
So these meetings are recorded. So like if Malik or any of us missed, I'm not sure how we, who do we contact or, how, you know, if we want to just watch it, but not in real time. How does that work?
They should be on the city's YouTube channel.
Okay.
Yeah, what we do, we try to do it within 24 to 48 hours of a meeting. We try to get the recordings posted. The minutes maybe not be posted that quick, but we're trying to get the recordings posted so people can go in there and listen to any meeting that the city has.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, if there's nothing else, we'll move to unfinished business. Back in September, seems like a long time ago now, that there was a study session held by city council, and the topic was based on tree removals and how the city handles tree removals. And in your packet, there's a copy of the PowerPoint presentation, and I'm not going to go all the way through it, but basically we kind of went through how we go through our tree inspections, how we go by the ANSI standards, look at the risk category levels, and how Jacob notifies the residents of what their options are and where we're at. There is an appeal process if someone wants to appeal. And it's not just to appeal that, hey, I want this tree removed, I don't like it. They can only appeal if they don't feel that we're following the city ordinance and policy in doing that. And so that's pretty much of the gist of it. As you guys know, we receive different complaints from different residents for different reasons. A lot of them seem like a big majority that I get have nothing to do that if the tree is an issue, from Jacob's inspection, it's usually that I don't like it dropping leaves and I don't like leaves in my yard, or I don't like acorns in my yard, or I don't like the shade because I can't grow grass. Those are the majority of the complaints that I receive. Now, I know Jacob receives complaints pretty much every day on something, and we're trying to correct a lot of those. A lot of those others that we already talked about lead to pruning, which again, we're trying to get caught up on that pruning. And I think if we continue to do what Jake's staff is doing, as well as our contractors, that here in a few years, we're going to see less and less complaints from residents, because a lot of this stuff is going to be taken care of. At least that's our goal, and get on a consistent 7-year cycle. We're not going to stop all complaints, because some of them, they don't like leaves, or they don't like shade, or you have some people, I'm afraid of big trees, so I don't want a big tree in my yard. There's all kinds of things. But basically, in the study session, we went through what our process is, and the study session seemed to go very well. If anyone has any questions or comments, we'll be glad to entertain that.
I sat in on that study session, and I feel like the report was very well presented and very well received by the council. So
I sat in as well, and I completely agree. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome. Moving on, Jacob touched on the next two items, the fiscal year 21 Emerald Ash Borer program. As he stated, that's pretty much complete. We went out and we had Jacob went out to bid for that. We had several contractors bid on it. We awarded the bid. They've been working pretty much late fall all through winter on this. And as he stated, that's pretty much complete. The tree trimming program's handled pretty much the same way. Jacob went out to bid for that. We had several contractors awarded the contract to the low bidder. And as he already talked previously in his report, some of the issues and concerns and how he's corrected those, and how that's going to be completed by the end of this month. If anybody has any further questions on any of that, either Jacob or I can answer those for you. If not, we can move to new business. And I don't know how many months ago it was that Jacob applied for a TRIM grant. And basically the TRIM grant was through the Missouri Department of Conservation to provide funds for us to do the tree inventory, which kind of leads into the second one that we did receive. He was successful in receiving a grant to do the tree inventory. The area that was identified was originally was the northwest section of Ward 3. And as we got into it, and I'll let Jacob speak to it more, he has more knowledge of it and everything than I do, but it pretty much we, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jacob, we got a huge portion of Ward 3 done, more than what we initially anticipated.
Yeah, I would say 90% of Ward 3 was completed by the contractor. I completed the rest of it myself. What it kind of tells me is I've always been told there's 30,000 trees in University City. That came up with 3,000 trees in one ward. There are streets and blocks on that in that ward that don't have a lot of trees. So I'm thinking 15,000 trees, street trees for University City based on just that.
Just there.
What's that?
Just in that area that's been inventoried, 15,000 trees?
No, 3,000. 3,000. I'm thinking 15,000 street trees for the entire city based on what we inventoried, and then you do the square mileage for everywhere else, and that would, you know, be about 15,000 trees total in University City would be my guesstimate.
Yeah, and our goal as we move forward, we want to do a tree inventory of the whole city. That's a goal. And so we will be going out with permission from the city that going out for more grant funds this next year, as well as we're going to be asking for some funds within our budget to go along with that. So hopefully within the next couple of years, we will have a complete tree inventory of all public trees in the city. And again, like Jake stated before, that's going to help him identify the trees that we have, the percentage of trees, the condition that they're in. And as we move forward with these Emerald Ash Borer contracts or removal, we'll know exactly how many trees need to be removed and where they're at, those sort of things. So I think it's a very helpful tool in that capacity as well. It's going to be a helpful tool as we continue to plant new trees with the software we have that Jacob can plot these new trees in there. And, you know, that's going to help us a great deal. Because like you said, when I started here almost 2 years ago, I kept on hearing anywhere between 30 and 40,000 trees that we manage. And that's just been a guess. We really don't have any idea until we do a complete inventory. And like Jacob said, based on the inventory of Ward 3, that we have somewhere around 3,000 trees, looking at square miles of the city, we're guesstimating 15,000. But again, we won't know until we get a complete tree inventory.
Do you know what do you have a ballpark percent of what the total, I'm just talking about tree lawn trees or street trees, what percent that is? What is city owned, is city managed versus private neighborhood, county, et cetera?
As far as overall canopy coverage of the entire city,
saying? Yeah, ballpark.
It would be just a complete guess. And I would say 50 to 60. I mean, it's a lot. But you get some areas of the city, people have more trees in their yard than others. That's just a complete guess. I have no evidence to base that on. I do not know.
Yeah. Could you get do you think the county has any idea? Do they track their trees at all?
Information
from the county?
So you're talking about, like on Olive and like the county streets, not just people's backyards and stuff?
Yeah, I'm talking about tree lawn trees. Right.
Okay. Oh, tree lawn trees. Okay. I would say, yeah, that's not including private neighborhoods. I mean, 75. I mean, it's up there. Most of the trees in University City are ours.
Our that's responsibility. What I wondered.
Yes. Okay. I thought you were talking about all the trees in people's backyard.
No. I'm just talking about those tree lawns.
Yeah.
Because I'm in a private neighborhood where my trees are the county, but everybody else's in the neighborhood are the neighborhood's trees.
Yeah.
So,
I would say, you know, 3/4 of them, around 75% would be a good guess.
Thank you.
Is that information at all accessible, like via
So canopy coverage you can do canopy coverage based on iTree, which I did maybe last year sometime. I can't remember what it came out to be, but yeah, you can do that on iTree. iTree is kind of very simple, and this inventory software we have, they do use iTree in it, so it's a resource within the software that we have now. And I'm not sure if the county has a GIS software for their trees. I would think they're hopefully they're going that direction, but I don't have access to it.
When I was on Green Practices Commission, like four years ago, right before I got on this commission, so I was on Green Practices for like 6 or 7 years. We had an intern from WashU who definitely did a tree canopy study. And, you know, I know he took, you know, a couple of months to do that. So, you know, I'm not sure about the methodology, if it's still, you know, accurate or whatever, but, you know, that certainly was done.
Are there any questions of the TRAM grant or the tree inventory?
I was just curious, like how, Jacob, how do you do the parks? I mean, I saw them going up and down my street because I live in the third ward, but like for Ruth Park Woods or, you know, anywhere else, how are those trees inventoried?
Ruth Park Woods, we're not even going to touch that yet. We might do it in the future. And the way I would do, like personally, the way I would do Ruth Park Woods is just say it's this forest type with a polygon instead of individual dots. It's this forest type, this understory. If I wanted to inventory trees, I would inventory trees within basically falling distance of the trail. Because really what we're doing is we're managing risk. If a tree's out away from everybody, it's not worth keeping that much data on. There's really no point, but to keep a polygon, so a square or something, a whole area to inventory, you could say it's this type of forest cover. Here's the management practices for within here. Look out for honeysuckle, look out for euonymus, stuff like that. Okay. And then as far as in the parks that we have, the maintained parks, I do it the same way. I just go out with my Biltmore stick, measure the tree, look up, down the tree, walk around the tree, look for defects, primary maintenance needs, and that's about it.
So would there be anything in the prospective grant for Ruth Park Woods that would be helpful to you, Jacob? You know, you could mention that to Barbara Brain, for example. You know, if there were some sort of different way to do a tree inventory, you know, you might tag along with this grant. And I don't know. It might be helpful.
So I've talked with Jesse and I'm willing to help. I don't want to get myself overwhelmed. I have a lot to do with, I want to do the best job I can with these street trees that pose the biggest risk to our citizens. I want to do that. And if Jesse needs some help from me, I'll help anyway. He needs it. Whoever needs help, I'll help. But I don't want to get to the point where I'm in any kind of lead position on that, just because I feel like I'm spread too thin already.
Yeah. But I was thinking just the opposite, actually. Is there anything they could do that would help you?
Kill all the invasives.
When it came to Ruth Park Woods. But if it's not a priority right now, then...
It is a priority. It's just not on my list, unfortunately. But kill all the invasives, come up with a management plan, plant trees, keep up with the management plan.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Okay, moving on to the next item is the Missouri Invasive Plant Task Force pledge. This was, I think, originally brought up at a previous meeting that we didn't have a quorum, and it was asked to be put on the agenda to discuss. And Diane, right, were you the one that originally?
Yes, I did. Right.
Can you give a little information on this?
Absolutely. This is a statewide task force that is tracking in Missouri what's becoming a problem and not a problem, and they created a database and all that. And so they're asking both public entities and private entities to take this pledge. And since we're more or less doing it already, then it just seemed like a no-brainer. If you look at the list, the city of Kirkwood, Webster Groves, you know, a lot of the surrounding areas, as well as our major park systems, you know, have signed on to it. And so I thought it would be a good thing. And something, you know, easy to do, an easy low-hanging fruit, so to speak.
If this is something that the commission feels that they want to move forward with, we'd someone would need to make a motion to do so. And if it were approved, we could move it on up to a future council meeting for their approval for the city to take this pledge.
Yeah, so we're just recommending that the city take the pledge, right? Like,
correct.
Yeah, okay. Can we have a motion? Is there any discussion? Well, we have to just have the motion first. Absolutely. Diane moved. Do you want a second? Anybody want? Kathy second. Does anybody have any discussion, any questions, any comments that they want to make?
Well,
go for it.
I happened to listen to the webinar on this as well. And Missouri Prairie Foundation is just a wonderful organization. And they were making very reasonable accommodations, I thought, to business people who are currently selling winter creeper. and say in sort of giving some grace to allow people some time to begin withdrawing that from their inventory. So it struck me as this was not a one-sided approach. They were taking into consideration that this is part of some people's nursery trade. So I was impressed with it all. And I've pulled out enough winter creeper in my life. I'm really so ready for this to go into effect.
Okay, all in favor? Any opposed?
All right. The next item is the acceptable tree list. As some of you may be aware, pretty much on a yearly basis, Jacob and I will look at the tree list, and basically some of it coming out of this invasive plant task force, they identified some trees. So we had gone back and we've updated our list, you know, based on that. There's no action that's needed from the committee. This is more of a FYI that we did make those updates. And again, as we continue to move forward each year, you know, if there's anyone from the committee or any other research or information that comes forward to us, we will continue to update this list. And basically the primary reason for this list, one, is to what are acceptable trees for us to place on city property throughout the city. And as Jacob always says, right tree, right place sort of thing. And so we have that lined up. Also, the second part of it is that, you know, through Public Works and through the planning department, through different developments, sometimes we get contractors, homeowners ask us, well, what's a good tree to plant here? What's this and that? This provides them, not saying that they have to go by this, but it gives them a little guidance on that. Because I see and I've heard through my career a lot of people, you know, unless you're really passionate about trees, most people have no clue. Why did you plant that tree? Well, because that's what I had in my yard growing up. Or my neighbor had it and I thought it was a beautiful tree. They don't know if it's the right tree for that place or not. So I think this list will give them a little guidance. So those were the main purposes for creating this list. And again, we will continue to update it as we move forward. And if anyone has any questions or comments on that, we'll be glad to have discussion. If not, we'll move forward. The next thing that we have and the last item on our new business is...
I'm sorry. I do have... I maybe could have read this closer. I'm seeing there are trees that have an asterisk beside them.
Yeah, and that was the point I made in... that the asterisk is not explained until you get to the bottom of the very last page, and it's like in 6-point font or something.
Yeah.
And so I suggested that there be maybe in the footer of every page or and at the beginning in regular font to explain like a legend or something, you know.
And we are working on that as we're going to revise this a little bit to explain that a little better. And when we sit on our website and everything, that'll identify it a little better.
Well, I think I would suggest that's a good thing to have, trees native to Missouri, but also to say maybe something further, like greater ecological value.
That wording is actually in there, Kathy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I revised that in the middle section. I got some input from Green Practices and other people. So there is a paragraph sort of in the middle of the document that says that.
It should be on page 3 down under native plants. There is a, I believe that's the section that you're referring
to. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. So we worked on that, Kathy, and that's, we made the revision there.
And again, if anybody sees anything else that they would like to see revised as we move forward, again, this is a living document that we update each year, so that can be done. Moving forward, the last thing is nomination of officers per the charter. The committee is supposed to elect new officers every January, but since we didn't have a quorum the last time, this has moved forward to this agenda. And basically, there are 3 different positions, the president, the vice president, and the secretary. And basically, you know, I've had some people ask, well, what are these roles? Basically, the president, you know, is the face of the committee, who, you know, will help me as we move forward, set agendas. If anyone on the committee wants anything placed on the agenda, what they really need to do is go through the president to do that. Then the president can work with me on placing items that commission members and such want to put on there other than what the city puts on there. Also, the president, if there's council study sessions or any recommendations from the committee, usually the president sits in on those meetings. The vice president, for the most part, just fills in when the president's not available. And the secretary part, I know some people in the past have gotten scared for the secretary. Oh my gosh, I have to do minutes and all this stuff. For the most part, I do all the minutes. Basically, staff does all the minutes. I've been doing them for the past 2 years, but that might not be the case moving forward. But what we need with a commission is someone just to be a secretary to jot some notes down and share those notes with whoever at the city who is doing the minutes, just to make sure that we didn't miss something that was discussed. So it's not a major task on that. So what we'll need tonight is a nomination and an election in each one of these categories. And the first one is the nomination and an election of a president. Do we have any nominations?
Let's say we can nominate let's say individuals can nominate themselves. How about that?
Well, who are these people currently? And are they necessarily leaving office?
I'm the president, and I think that's the only office that's currently being held now, and I'm happy to not stay in the office.
How long have you been president?
Oh, I don't know. This is one or 2 years. I don't know. I can't even keep track of when I started, honestly, Kathy. I don't know.
Okay.
At least 1 year.
Okay.
You guys don't be shy.
David and Diane, have you both had
Well, I'll speak up here. I unfortunately, I've got a 2-year-old son. I am not. I'm just gonna tell you right now. If you have me as your president, I will be unsuccessful at it. I'm sorry.
I am not interested. I think Kristen is doing a great job.
Kathy, would you like to try to be the president?
Well, I'm not enthused about being president on my second day or first day in the commission. I would be vice president.
Somebody else want to be secretary?
Vice president typically kind of inherit the presidential role.
I don't. I don't know about that. I don't think there's been enough people who've, yeah. there's been enough continuity to say that. Yeah, it's
a little bit of a rough year.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could certainly, I mean, I could resign and she could take over some yeah. in another few meetings, right?
I suppose so.
Will somebody be secretary? Diane, will you be secretary?
No, my eye doctor would string me up.
Okay.
I'm struggling with dry eyes. And this pandemic and all this Zoom and everything has not helped that at all. So, yeah, my next eye exam is early April. So I don't want to risk his wrath.
Can we, and I'm not trying to dump this on you, Kathy, but I'm just asking the question, could we combine the secretary and vice president duties since it's limited for both? Then at least we wouldn't have to try to get three people to.
Darren, you and your staff are willing to continue doing most of the work for secretary. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah. We take most of the notes and the minutes. We just, like in the past, we've had someone else who jotted some notes and stuff down and would submit them to us within the next couple days after the meeting and just make sure we didn't miss anything. Just kind of fill in the blanks a little bit. And minutes don't have to be, since this is an advisory committee, they're not word for word. They're just more of a summary of what took place. So it's not that daunting of a task.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, the vice president doesn't sound like there's much to that at all.
No.
Yeah, I could do the secretary then. I'm not enthused about writing notes, but I guess I'm reassured as to how that actually works. So I would be secretary if that's helpful. And Kristen, you want to combine that with vice president, who essentially isn't doing much of anything, it sounds like.
I don't know. Is that legal? I mean, is it set up so that there have to be three different separate positions?
I would be vice president.
Okay.
How about that?
Yay.
I think I could do that.
Thank you, Diane.
Yeah, because I was thinking if for some reason Kristen couldn't run the meeting, then it would be hard for Kathy to be both running the meeting and being the secretary. So yeah. I could do that.
Okay. All we need is a president now.
Okay, well, I'll do it until we get some more people and we can maybe shuffle around at some point.
All right. It looks like Kristen will be the president, Diane will be the vice, and Kathy will be secretary.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks for hanging in there with us, David, with your two-year-old.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
That's okay. No, I'm thanking you for continuing to participate.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I feel passionate about. I really want to do more, but I didn't, obviously, when I joined this, I didn't have a child. And
yeah, right. They're different, right.
So things have changed quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the last thing on the agenda prior to adjournment is commission comments. If there's anyone from the commission that just, it's not a discussion, it's just any type of comment that you would like to make related to forestry.
I just had one or two things. First of all, I appreciate you all letting us know about continuing education type things, adult education opportunities that we can have to learn more about trees. I really appreciate that. I took advantage of the University of Illinois extension series and I learned a lot. I learned more than I ever knew was possible to know about pruning and all kinds of things. And now I'm taking the forest relief. Actually, I'm missing the one tonight, but they record them, so I'll be able to catch up. So I'm doing that one, and then my volunteer hours for this commission and other things I do in Forest Park and New City, et cetera, will count towards my certification there. So I really appreciate you all letting us know about those kinds of things so we can be more informed commissioners. And I just want to ask if anybody else, I know Jacob, you did the U of I thing, and probably some of your staff. I think Kathy has already been through Forest Relief. So
I did the University of Illinois Extension. I did the 6 days. And I did go through the Forest Relief Tree Keepers a couple of years ago. And it all of this stuff builds. I'm in Master Gardener training right now. And I get endless amounts of information about courses that are available. So where do I send this? I think it's a good idea to send stuff like this out. Some people have time and interest to do this. So
You can send it to Jacob or myself, and we can make sure that information gets sent out.
Yeah, Darren gets way more stuff than me. Send it to me. Darren has all kinds of stuff to do. You can send it to me.
Okay, Jacob.
And then I'll get it out to everybody. And then hopefully someday we'll get back to more in-person meetings. And Kathy, I know you went on Dan Billman walkabout. Those are always fun, where he went and you actually walk in the woods or a park and talk about trees with Dan Billman, who used to be the horticulture professor at Merrimack College, and stuff like that. So
I just listened to his lecture today, and he didn't have great things to say about pin oaks.
Yeah. Yep. He's a smart guy. He's been in the industry a long time. I try to go to some of his stuff whenever I can.
So the other thing I wanted to throw out there, when you look at the different layers of the canopy, shrubs are so important. I know when I've had my yard evaluated by Bring Conservation Home, basically they said you're doing great with wildflowers and grasses, and then you've got your trees, but what you don't have is that middle layer, which is shrubs. And Jacob, you probably would remember the cul-de-sac that's on my street, Milan. It used to have trees, and somebody recently tried to drive through it. I don't know, as an accident or had a medical emergency or what, but we had, a lot of vehicles and emergency vehicles, and the person was hauled away in an ambulance and all of that. And so I'm learning that, you might not want big trees where, vehicles can impact them. That could be a problem. But on the other hand, I've got this cul-de-sac, which is like a median, only, in the middle of the street. So, some trees are considered shrubs, because they're so understory. But I didn't know. Does the city ever plant shrubs? I figured they probably do in parks, or, how would that work?
I think you just said it, like a park type setting would be a spot. And then trees, actual trees that have more of a shrub form, we can do in parks. I know we planted the silky dogwoods. They get kind of big, but they're still kind of shrubby in Kingsland Park, I believe. That would be, a collaboration of a lot of different departments, public works, parks, forestry, and that can be something that can be, talked about in the future. But yeah, it's a good idea, because you can't put a tree everywhere. So shrubs are good also.
Okay. And can you get those through Forest Relief or not? You have to go to...
Kathy, do you know if they...
have shrubs. They have a few shrubs. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
All right, if there's nothing else, need a motion for adjournment.
I motion for adjournment.
I'll second.
All right, thanks everybody.
All right, thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you.